like a
bacteria? A weed?
Yeah, a weed. No. Well, I mean, it's in a pot, so its babies are only so big and far away.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're recording.
Oh, sweet. We're recording.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Welcome to BC is Creepy.
I'm Ariel Hansen.
And I'm Topher Graham. And this is episode 3.
No, it's episode 51.
I'm counting this as a whole nother season. That's how I've been labeling it.
We can say it's another season. But episode in the grand scheme 53. Of things. Yay! Oh, no, 51.
51.
Last episode was episode 50.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Sort of.
Happy
50 episodes. We should have been celebrating last episode, but
yeah. But I thought it was episode 2.
I mean, even shows that do seasons still celebrate like episode 100.
Yeah.
So
like The Simpsons, I think, is on like what
1,000 something?
Yeah. Something absolutely ridiculous. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for people who are wondering what this show is, because maybe this is your first time listening, we here at BC is Creepy explore creepy stories. I'm doing ones from British Columbia.
And because of a unique set of circumstances, I am abroad, and I'm doing stories from abroad with me. So it's actually in 2 days, I'm going to Madrid. So my story is going to be from Madrid today. But before that,
I will be telling a story from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hey, I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, almost anyone who travels to Victoria has been to where this story taketh place.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A little place called Beacon Hill Park.
Is that where they have like the horse carriage rides?
Yeah. I mean, the horse carriages don't stick to just Beacon Hill Park. They also go through like James Bay but it's all sort of the same area. So Beacon Hill Park is like this big park in Victoria, and it kind of borders James Bay, downtown Victoria, Fairfield. So it's like really in the center of it. Like if you've been to Vancouver, it's not as big as Stanley Park, and it's like a bit less isolated. So it's like you've got neighborhoods on all sides except the side where there's the ocean. A little bit of history is that the city has owned the park since 1882. Yes. I do believe it has the world's tallest totem pole.
Yeah.
It has lots of like manicured gardens. There's like a band shelter that they also sometimes set up to do movies in the park. There's sports fields. There's playgrounds. There's water park area. Like not like water slides or anything, but like little kids water park. Jump around, splash them up.
It's like the hip place to hang out without like spending money.
Yeah.
If you're in Victoria.
Yeah. And so then there's also like some parts of it are just these big meadows, and Dallas Road is sort of the road that goes along it, sort of separating it from the ocean. And that's a very fancy road. It's super windy down there. So people will like fly kites, and Mile Zero is down there.
Definitely been there. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like basically the end of the highway number one in Canada, I do believe.
Number one that goes onto an island.
Yeah. Because it counts the Horseshoe Bay Ferry from Horseshoe Bay to Nanaimo as part of the highway. So then the highway goes from Nanaimo down to Victoria.
Whoever decided that, I want to disagree with them. You can't just call the ocean a highway, even if there is a ferry.
I mean, I think the ferries are like a part of whatever the jurisdiction, like they fall under highways or something in BC. I don't know. Don't quote me on it. But anyways, so Beacon Hill Park, it's a great place. It's if you're visiting Victoria, definitely somewhere to check out. There's a little restaurant called the Beacon Hill Drive-Through or Drive-In. Drive-In, Drive-Through, yeah. One of the two. If you go to Beacon Hill Park, you haven't truly gone to Beacon Hill Park unless you've gotten a soft serve ice cream there. That's sort of like the classic.
I guess I haven't been.
Oh, no. Well, when you come back to Canada, you're going to have to go to Victoria and go to the Beacon Hill Drive-In, order an ice cream, and then walk through the park, because that is how we do.
That sounds lovely, actually.
Over the years, lots of people have died in the park, but mostly it's been through suicide, accidents, or natural causes. So today's story is a bit of a standout because it has to do with a murder.
Ooh.
Now, in the late 70s, lots of people reported seeing a blonde woman with darker skin standing on top of a rock at the corner of Douglas Street and Southgate. And this was in the morning. And this was happening for months. And she'd be standing on top of this rock with like her feet hip width apart and then her arms up in the air, like just pointing skyward. And her mouth was open and her head was back like she was screaming, but there was no sound coming out of her mouth.
This sounds like a creepy anime.
I mean, it could be. And she was wearing a black shirt with white pants.
For like months on end?
Yeah, well, just in the morning, and like she'd be gone after a little while. But like people who lived in the area and went there every day noticed her, and they'd like go up to her and be like, hey, are you okay? And she'd just completely ignore them.
But we do, like, this is definitely a physical person. Real
we don't
person.
Know. Okay, yes. There. So this is a murder story, but it's also a spooky story.
Okay.
We'll get into the spookiness a bit later.
It's already kind of spooky.
Yeah. Can you just imagine, like, someone standing there screaming with no noise?
Like, to me, I'm imagining, like, the girl from The Grudge.
With blonde hair.
Yeah, but like just mouth hanging open and.
But it's like more like head back. Like,
yeah. Okay. Like, I got it.
Some people described it as like looking like she was doing a yoga pose.
Yeah.
Now, after a few months, the sighting stopped, so this woman wasn't seen there again. But then, in spring of 1983, a woman with dark hair and a fair complexion was seen standing on the exact same rock. In the exact same pose, but her clothes were the inverse of this woman from the 70s as well. So she was like white shirt, black pants, fair skin instead of darker skin, dark hair instead of blonde hair. And so doing the same thing, but people described her as being like more ethereal, more like she wasn't an apparition kind of jazz.
Yeah. Like somebody took a negative photo of a real life person and then put it there.
Yeah. And so then on November 15th of the same year, a body was found in the bushes next to this rock. And that was the body of Donna Mitchell.
Yeah.
She looked just like the second instance of the woman standing on the rock. So she had the dark hair, the fair complexion, white shirt, black pants. And
this is totally a creepy anime.
So she had actually gone missing on June 2nd that year. So she had gone out for a night on the town with her friends. They'd gone to the Empress Hotel at the end of the night. That was the last place she was seen alive. And so then her common law husband the next day reported her missing because she didn't show up to her daughter's 7th birthday.
Oh.
And so she'd been missing for months, and then the police were called in once the body was discovered. At least that mystery was solved, but the sources that I had, their recollection of this differed. Some said that the body was determined to have been lying in the bushes there the entire, like, however many months between June and November. And then other sources said that the body had only been there a few days.
Oh.
So those are two very, very different states of decay. So I don't know which source was more credible.
Yeah.
But that was how she was found. And further examination showed that she had been strangled and that her body had been moved after she had died. So she was strangled somewhere else and then put there. And the police did actually have a suspect in mind.
Oh.
They gathered some evidence, and they were all ready to issue an arrest warrant. The man that they had as a suspect lived in Vancouver, but he'd been in Victoria at the same time that the murder would have occurred and that the disappearance would have happened. And when they were just, they had everything ready, you know, warrant in hand, they were going to go over to Vancouver to serve this guy and get him on the path to a trial. And then they get a phone call from the Vancouver police that he's hanged himself.
Oh.
Yeah. That puts a wrench in their plan to arrest this guy. And then he didn't leave like a confession note or anything like that. There wasn't any evidence. Hard proof that it was him. Like, he hadn't told anyone that he'd done it or anything like that. So there was no corroboration. So technically this murder is still a cold case and unsolved, even though they're pretty sure that this guy or girl, I can't remember if they said it was a guy or girl. Pretty sure guy though.
I want it to be the blonde girl.
We'll get to that because there were no confessions or firm confirmations of the guilt. It's a cold case. And since then, people have seen Donna on the rock in that same strange position.
Yeah.
As if she's trying to scream, but can't. And So that's the ghostliness. Now, the paranormal explanation people like to use for this is that the original apparition was Donna's doppelganger, and it was a film negative.
Yeah.
Because everything was kind of the opposite of what she looked like in real life, and those appearances were while she was still alive. For people who have not heard of what a doppelganger is, which if you're listening to BC is Creepy, I'm guessing you probably know of the concept, but it's a German word that means one's double or one's double walker. And a lot of people think that to view your own doppelganger is an omen of death. And people claim that Abraham Lincoln saw his own doppelganger shortly before he was assassinated, and that Queen Elizabeth I saw her own doppelganger before she died.
Man.
That's all claims, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun claims.
And yeah. You've got the movie Us.
No, that's weird government experimentation. A little different. This is otherworldly because they just disappear.
Man, so, that's creepy. That's actually really creepy.
That is the story of the screaming doppelganger of Beacon Hill Park.
Screaming, but silent.
Yeah, the silent scream. A lot of people think that the second apparition was her ghost instead of her doppelganger because it looked the same as her and it had that more ethereal vibe to it.
Or maybe it was her becoming the doppelganger for a third girl.
No.
No.
No. Unless we find more bodies right beside that rock.
Yeah.
No! No! This is probably the most spotty of references that I've had in a very long time.
What are they like?
Okay, so one is from hubpages.com.
Yeah.
Another of the references was a YouTube video that was just a rip of a TV show on the Outdoor Learning Network sometime in the early 2000s. It might have been called Creepy Canada, but because it was just a rip of the segment, it doesn't show like the opening of the series or the end credits. So I'm just guessing here. And I swear they like must have gotten the accounts of the people who were the witnesses, gotten them to write it down, and then hired actors to read them or something, because
yeah.
It did not feel like real people being interviewed. also that the same people being interviewed were the ones doing the reenactments that looked so cheesy. Also, because they were talking about like stuff that happened in the 70s and 80s, and most of them looked very young. Their clothing was definitely early 2000s. So it's like, you're talking about you and your wife seeing something, and you look like you've been married maybe 5 years.
Imagine the director that logics something like that.
So that was fun to watch. Another source was the unexplainedmysteries.com forum, where someone just posted about it. And then they had like a quote from a website in their post, but then I went to the link that they shared and the link doesn't work anymore. So you just had to trust that the article that they were quoting, that was what it actually said. And then the last one is the Visual Paranormal Investigators Facebook page that had a post about this.
Well, at least there's multiple sources. At least it happened in some respect.
Yeah, and the disappearance and the murder definitely happened. That's 100%. The body was definitely found beside that rock. So there is some 100% true stuff, but then it's just, you know, the paranormal side is kind of
you just kind of have to take them at their word.
Yeah
and the word is that there was a woman sitting on a rock in a weird way and looking like she was screaming.
It might be one woman inverted through time as a doppelganger.
I love that. I think that's the coolest thing. I hope that's real. But then I don't want to meet my doppelganger.
No.
Even though it'd be interesting, but then you die. So
yeah,
it's a trade-off. And I don't know if I'm willing to...
I mean, there's doppelganger story... Like, there's stories of doppelgangers where, like, it doesn't result in people dying, but it's usually they don't actually meet their doppelganger. It'll be, like, they're in two places at once, so that, like, there's this story about a school teacher who she was, like, in the classroom giving a lesson, but then her students looked outside and she was, like, also outside picking flowers at the same time or something.
And then there's Scott Pilgrim and they just kind of chill.
I don't remember that part.
It's like Nigga Scott and he's, like, gray and he's got red eyes and they were about to fight and then they were like, oh, we've actually got a lot in common.
That sounds fun.
It's a good movie. I think we're ready to brush into my story, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'm really excited about this story. This is the first time on BC is Creepy that we've gotten to do like a full-on possession.
Oh!
Yeah.
I did not, you told me what you were doing and I was like, I'm not going to bother looking this up. I just assumed it was a haunted house.
It is a haunted house too. Mm-hmm. So what we're covering today is the Vallecas haunting, which happened in Madrid. Mm-hmm. And this is really special. A lot of you may have heard of this one because they actually made the movie Veronica about it.
Oh!
Yeah, so that's why I'm really excited.
Okay.
Yeah, Veronica, by the way, is a really great horror film. It's on Netflix. It was done by the director of Wreck, who I actually met when I went to Morbido Film Festival in Mexico City.
Nice!
Yeah, so props to him. And I don't know, sometimes life goes full circle. It's really fun. Sometimes it's just in like plain normal ways like this. So our story begins in early 1990. In Madrid, specifically the Vallecas suburb of Madrid. Here we have Estefania Gutierrez Lazaro. And as the story goes, her and her friends were at school using a Ouija board to contact one of the other girl's boyfriend who tragically died in a motorcycle accident just like the year before.
Oh.
Yeah. So...
how old was her boyfriend to be driving a motorcycle?
So at this point, I think Estefania is like 17 or 18.
Okay, that's an all right age to have a license.
Yeah, and I mean, the boyfriend might have been older. Scandal, gross. Don't date high school girls if you're not in high school.
Yep. Unless it's like, you have to have gone to high school with them for it to be okay.
Yeah. Like, don't just, it's pretty obvious when it's creepy and predatory. Don't do that.
Mm-mm. That's a bad cookie. Don't.
Also, well, let's get the Ouija board. Luigi board? Ouija board. Ouija, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's in Spain, so Ouija.
Ouija.
Or they might have a different word for it.
Ouija. I'm going to look that up now.
How to say Ouija in Spanish? Español. So, warning stories.
It's the same word.
But the J, it's a ha.
Oh, I can get Google to say it to me. Ouija.
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 I'm still going to call it a Ouija board just for simplicity. And since I'm telling the story in English.
Very true. There's no subtitles for
No subtitles for podcasts. Although there should be.
But how? It's an auditory medium.
It just like was written out and printed.
Well, then that's a book.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of podcasts do transcriptions that are available for people who want to listen, but physically
can't. If we had more Patreon supporters, we could create a book.
Or just do episode transcriptions.
That would be really nice. Although.
Although.
I'm less charming on paper. So the girls were caught by one of the nuns who ran the school before they were done, and she tore up the board and shattered the glass that they were using as a makeshift planchette, which means that they didn't say goodbye, which is also a bad cookie don't.
Yeah. I've seen Ouija Origin of Evil.
Yeah. You always say goodbye. Or else you just leave it open for whoever wants to come in.
Yep.
And, allegedly. There's a lot of explanations about Ouija boards, but, well, this story is actually, like, really spooky. Convincing. Yeah, well, this is, like, the most convincing one that I've read so far. But as the story goes, and this is, like, one of the shadier parts of the story, but the girls and the teacher said that a strange smoke, rose from the glass and went into the nose and mouth of Estefania. And this is where things start to go downhill. So days later, Estefania begins having seizures and hallucinatory visions that she'd never like previously suffered from. So she would sometimes go into fits of rage, snarling and barking at her younger brothers, or she would tell her parents that she would see shadow people walking past her bedroom at night, and she described them as like strange and evil looking. So the family took her to several doctors, and every single one of them weren't able to find any physical reason for the seizures.
Were they just saying puberty?
They were just like, it's in her head, it's a mental thing, or she's developed like deep brain farts.
She's developed brain farts.
No.
Be more like brain hiccups.
Brain hiccups. But seizures. She's getting seizures.
Epilepsy.
Epilepsy. Like, she developed it overnight after using a Ouija board, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Really, and there was no physical evidence that they could find. And she spent 6 months going to different doctors, all of them unable to give a firm diagnosis. And all the while, her health continued to disintegrate.
Oh.
So she's having seizures more and more frequently on the subway, on buses, inside classrooms, inside her home. And with the increases of seizures would be more hallucinations and voices of shadow people, and until eventually she just stopped breathing and died in her room.
Oh.
And even still, this could not be explained. So then, that's not even where the story ends.
Because so I'm just like, I keep picturing the movie now, and I'm like, but the movie had some big, epic ending.
Yeah, we're not there yet, don't worry.
Okay.
But Estefania dies. So after her death, and we're talking like just several months after this occult experience, mm-hmm. like 6-7 months, the family starts to begin experiencing bizarre things. So at first, we have them reporting that they hear a disembodied voice whispering, "Mama, Mama," from Estefania's bathroom. And when they go to investigate, the room's empty. And while they would normally keep her room like clean and tidy, every couple of days they'd find this sheet strewn about, an object scattered on the floor. The family then resorted to even like keeping furniture in front of doors to keep them closed. And then they would hear a huge wind and the furniture would just be like flung out of the way and the doors would burst open. And in one instance, there was a photo of Estefania that knocked down onto the ground. Mm-hmm. And when the father goes to pick up the photo, the paper underneath the glass ignites and burns like the face completely off.
Ooh.
So this is like hella intense. Even the neighbors reported seeing like dark humanoid creatures walking through the windows.
Shadow people.
Yeah. We have one of Estefania's sisters gave a description. So I've got that here. It's so sad that you're abroad because I would send this to you and you could read it.
I mean, can't you still send it to me?
Yes. Let's do this. Hold on. You guys, the internet exists.
Yeah, for more than just porn.
And it's not just on our computers anymore.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Okay. Right. Oh, I'm not going to, should I try a, I'm not going to do a Spanish accent because that could be.
Please don't.
Yeah, no. I took Spanish, but it was a long time ago.
It's like we don't want to do the podcast equivalent of blackface.
No. No. We heard a whistling sound, like on other nights, and then a groan near the door. We were so scared we were frozen. It was then we noticed something on the floor, as the light from the street lights would enter our bedroom and light it up. It was the shape of a man, crawling, dragging itself along the floor. He had a black head, no eyes, no mouth, nothing. It was crawling towards us, and we started to scream. It was then that the toys we had on a shelf started being thrown violently towards the other wall, one by one. And then we heard bangs and shouts.
Oh, chilling. Like, yeah. It's like something straight out of Silent Hill. So the absolute, like, culmination of this happens in 1992, when Estefania's mother awakes in the middle of the night, feeling pressure on top of her. And she's mm-hmm. got a pair of hands that grabbed her feet and grabbed her arm. And this led to the family calling the police and finally saying, enough is enough.
There's something spooky.
Something spooky. And this is why we have this story at all, really. Because the police station of Vallecas received a telephone call on the night of November 27th, 1992. The scarcely manned police station wasn't at all prepared for what the frantic voice was frothing about over the phone. So Mr. Gutierrez claimed that his wife and him were plagued by tall, shadowy people and strange happenings inside their condominium. And so we have Inspector Jose Negri to take the case. And he went to the house with a small squad of officers, two squad cars around the building. And when they got there, the family were standing outside, even though it was cold, but they were just too scared to go inside the house. And of course, the police were like, oh, you know, they heard people in. It's probably like a break-in. Mm-hmm. There's probably people inside the house. But no signs of forced entry. And they had no signs of like anybody in the house. But they decided to like continue looking around, not quite expecting what to do. A few of the men stayed in the living room with Mrs. Gutierrez, and two officers took Mr. Gutierrez into the master bedroom. In there, they stood talking when all of a sudden a loud bang came from outside the bedroom's balcony, and they heard what sounded like a fairly large and heavy boulder roll across the balcony's tiled floor. When they opened the doors that led to the balcony, nothing. No boulders or sign of anything unusual that the men could identify as the source of the sound. And when they went back into the living room to see if they had heard or seen anything, the other one said no. But then, in that moment, one of the officers yelled duck to his partner, who was near a large pine armoire. And he ducked out of the way while one of the doors swung open, just missing the officer by a few inches. So now we've got like poltergeist stuff, like moving, moving furniture while police are in the house. So they drew their guns and pointed it at the furniture. And yet still couldn't find like, well, nothing. And then they were like, no, we're leaving. Everybody's leaving. And opted to wait outside. So from there, the Gutierrez family moved from the home. And this is where everything ends. Everything stopped and they were finally allowed to properly mourn.
Yeah.
And we don't get any reports of like stuff from the house either after they moved.
Huh. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, not a happy ending.
No, but usually you hear like, I mean, at least in horror movies, either the house would be like cursed and the next family would be tortured by the poltergeist activity, or it would be that it was following the family, so wherever they moved, they were still cursed.
Yeah, no. This time, they moved, and it was the right thing to do.
So this is all the nuns' fault?
Yeah. Just let them say goodbye, and don't piss off spirits, or break Ouija boards.
Mm-hmm.
So I have three sources, three main sources. Ghosttheory.com was a really big one. And then altereddimensions.net had a really nice like account of the story. And I also caught a podcast called the Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast.
Ah.
Yeah, I think they were from Ireland. So it's a big famous story. Obviously, you don't get a lot of like hauntings with police reports.
Yeah.
And possessions, even though like the possession wasn't part of the police report, although the death must have had a police report.
Yeah, or maybe not a police report if it was like determined to be natural causes.
Natural causes of like her just stopping breathing.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking, I think another one that had a police report was, it was whatever, I can't remember the name.
Enfield.
Yes.
Hauntings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, the one from The Conjuring 2 that the writing was so cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Enfield. That's here in the UK.
Yeah. So you could go there.
I could. And I could bring back a nice little ghost.
I mean, if it lives at your house.
Happy birthday to you.
No, that's already gone. Done and gone. Done and gone.
Done and gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our stories. That was a good episode.
Yes. Very, both involved death.
Yeah. Both had like weird ghost things.
Yep. But not just ghost things.
Yeah.
Yes. They weren't haunted houses this week. There's going to be a lot of haunted house episodes from me in the future because there's a lot of those in BC.
BC is the most haunted province in Canada.
Yep.
We like, just got that on a nice ley line.
I'm sorry, I can't help, but anytime I ever hear ley lines in TV shows and stuff, I just start laughing.
Yeah. Everything is connected, and aliens and humans and stuff.
Everything is energy.
Yeah.
We use the ley lines to recalibrate your auric energy. That's probably
or don't. Yeah. If you don't feel like it.
Yeah. So, anything that you think we need to plug before we say goodbye?
I actually didn't get a video in Cologne, but I do know that we got a new episode of Your Creepiest Corner out.
Yes, with Shirai Rules.
She is so cool.
I mean, with a last name like Rules, kind of hard not to be.
I know. Like, it's literally in her name.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to support us in all of our bad cookie endeavors, then you know what you can do.
Hit up our Patreon, where you'll get access to exclusive content. You'll get shout outs on all of our online stuff.
Yep. And also on the podcast, you get one.
You get one
shout out.
It's really special.
It ain't short. We don't have a lot. It's not a long list we have to do at the end of episodes.
So we will give you like credit where credit's due.
Yeah. And aside from that, if you like this podcast, give her the old thumbs up, 5-star rating, happy review. And if you don't, please just stop listening. If you don't like it, put your time into something you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already been like a number of minutes at this point.
Yeah. If you don't like it, I don't know how you are at this point in the podcast.
We appreciate it, though. Like,
yeah.
Good for you for sticking it out.
Yeah. But at the same time, please do things that make you happy.
And another way you can support our podcast is just by giving us new content.
Oh, yeah, that too.
By staying creepy.
And suggesting topics.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say. I wasn't ready for the sign-off.
We can do it again.
Okay. So once you've sent us your topic ideas, either ones from British Columbia, please, more from British Columbia. Maybe not ghosts.
Got make BC creepy again.
Yes, make BC creepy again. Or ones from anywhere in Europe. Force Topher to travel.
Gladly.
Yeah. You can send that to us on social media. Bad Cookies on the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest a little bit. We're not on that a ton anymore. Yeah, or just email us, badcookiepictures@gmail.com, to give us suggestions for future episodes.
Absolutely. And
now, once you've done that, you know, I feel like there's something you really should do.
And that is
stay creepy.
Yay!
Nailed it!